Hey, what is up, Overflow? I hope that you had a great weekend. But how are we doing?
Yes. Doing,
okay, yeah. But actually, how are we doing? Yes. You know when somebody's like, hey, how are you doing? And you're like, good. How are you doing? I'm good. Or ladies, I'm fine. Okay. But hey, we are in our second week of our message series called In His House. Last week, we talked about embracing our place and the gifts that God has given us and understanding that our gifts that He's given us matters. Our place where He has called us matters. They matter for the sake of the body of Christ. And this week, I want us to understand what else matters in His house. I want us to understand what happens when we make God first in His house. But before we begin, I would love to pray for us. God, we want to hear from you tonight. Lord, I don't think any of us are here by mistake. Lord, I know that you are wanting to show us our purpose. You want to show us that we are so loved. And Lord, that your word is powerful. And so Lord, as we hear it tonight, may it bring power to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love, as humans, how we are created. We're pretty competitive people. We love to win, right? We love the excitement of it all. And I know because of, you know, a lot of us are probably hurting tonight with the Viking loss. Sorry to bring it up. You know, though, we got our hopes up last week, and we were ready to win against the Seahawks, but we need to face the reality that we lost. Some Packer fans, I know that you won tonight, but here's the reality. Yes, you won tonight. Yes, you won the Super Bowl a few years ago, but we're in a different season. You're not first, okay? Amen. But no, really, really, these days, the kids that are growing up in the sport world are getting awards for just showing up. Seriously. Might be a little dramatic, but the attitude is that everyone is a winner, right? Well, we all want to be in first place. We all love to win. Judah Smith, he quotes from his book, Life Is. I encourage you to read it. He says this, I'm slightly competitive. I want first place. I want to win. And I suppose that has both helped me and hurt me in life. I think there should be a passion in our hearts to be excellent. In fact, I think that's part of being human. I think there's something innate in our DNA that wants to win. And I think that desire comes from God, the ultimate champion of the ages. God is a winner, and we were made in His image and likeness. But I think our desire to be first can hurt us in some areas because in the kingdom of God, there is a bit of a paradox. The key to getting ahead in life is being behind or being second place in God's kingdom. As long as we are behind, we will be ahead. Jesus needs to take the wheel, as Carrie Underwood pointed out a few years back. We need to be comfortable riding shotgun for the rest of our lives. God is forever first and foremost. The sooner we realize that, and the sooner we implement it in our daily lives, the sooner we will find ourselves getting ahead in life. Our destiny is to be ahead in life by being behind Jesus. Jesus is first. Tonight I want to ask you, who or what is first in your life? Because what is first in your life is what you will listen to. What is first in your life, you will allow to control you. While you think about that, I want us to open up to John chapter 10 in the New Testament. One of the Gospels. John chapter 10. I don't know, some of you start downloading the Bible app, YouVersion Bible app. It's super awesome. You can have it on your smartphone. It's right there. Super easy. But hey, we're going to read from the first verse through verse 6. These are Jesus' words. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them in a sheep, following him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand, the disciples did not understand what he was telling them. Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? Because back then, Jesus, you know, he used analogies that the disciples and people of that day could relate with. Well, I'm not Jesus, and I honestly could not figure out a unique analogy, but I think what he's trying to say is that a good shepherd is a good leader. You know, I ask our leadership team a lot, what makes a good leader? Usually they say something like, they put others' interests above their own. A good leader listens. A good leader is open-minded. A good leader gives up their personal time when someone is in need. A good leader knows how their team is doing. A good leader cares. A good leader is someone you look to for advice, for wisdom, and for guidance. A good leader has followers. A good leader goes with you and before you. You see, the people that Jesus was speaking to, were chasing after things that were bringing destruction to their life. Some people were chasing after money and glamour. Some people were not willing to give up what they had in front of them for the sake of following Jesus. They were making sin, religion, perfection, other people's opinions, their family, their marriages, their successes, their idols. They were making them their idols. What is it for you? Is it money? Is it school? Is it a career you're looking to? Is it a career you're in right now? Is it your friends, your family? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your marriage or food. Maybe it's an ambition you have. Maybe it's the opinions of others. What is it? Because don't get me wrong, some of these things that are listed are good things, but is that what should be first in your life? I remember a year ago, I was sitting in the office that I have now, back in the dungeon back there, and I was asking myself the question, what do I do? I haven't spoken up for myself. I've entered into an unknown. I've started to hear different opinions on what I should do with my life. You know, whether if I should stay where I'm at, if I should move out of my parents' house and leave to pursue something new. I felt alone and not knowing what to do. I felt alone and feeling spiritually dry. I was confused. I felt inadequate for so many things that were being brought right in front of me. I was making people my idol. I was making what I do an idol. I was making my successes and my failures my everything. I was making my insecurities my everything. And it was causing me so much anxiety. Have any of you felt like that? Because out of the blue that night, a friend texted me, reminded me, saying, there will always be noisy outside voices. But you know the one to listen for. It was like I heard it straight from the Lord. That person had no idea that that's what I needed to hear. They had no idea the thoughts that were going through my mind. I needed to hear that. Whatever I do it for the Lord. Whatever I do, God is going before me. Whatever I do, God is first. You see, we think we know. We think we know what should be first in our life. We think we know what's best. But let's be really honest, we're kind of dumb. We're dumb lost sheep without God being first in our life. If we are not being led by the good shepherd, we are being led by our idols, by the enemy. You see, because Jesus goes on to say in John 10, verses 7 through 11, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus says. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Are you stuck right now? Are you feeling empty? Are you feeling lost? We need to wake up. We need to wake up to what Jesus is saying. Because he himself said that the thief is after you. The enemy, the devil, Satan, call him what he is. He's a liar, he is a deceiver, and he is not for you. And he's after you to tear you down. He's after your relationships. He's after this ministry. And he wants to bring you far, far away from God. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus says. I have come that they, that you may have life. And not only that, but have it to the full. Have it right here and right now. Here's the thing. Let's say you're putting money first in your life. It's everything you want for you and your family. It's what you think makes you successful. It's what you think keeps you safe. It gives you that security. You value your job above all because it allows you to have the money you think that will bring about happiness. But what happens? What happens when the thief comes? What happens when job cuts start happening? When someone in your house gets sick and the bills pile up from hospital visits? What happens when the money is no longer there? What happens? Some of you, a lot of you are still in school right now, and you haven't faced those realities yet of what is to come. Because here's the thing that we can learn tonight, that we do this. We do this with people. We do this with our jobs. We do this with schoolwork. We do this with our looks. We do this with what we think will make us look good. With what will be cool. Well, what happens when that very thing is no longer there because you've been putting it first in your life? It has been your everything. Now, if you're somebody who has been putting God first, yet you're struggling because of circumstances in your life. And I'm sorry for whatever that may be, but be reminded that God, who is first, who calls himself the great I am, meaning he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, who has been with you in the beginning and goes before you, who goes before you to be with you, to understand you, and to be there for you in the end. Because he knows what you're going to go through. He knows the messy and dumb things that we've done and that we will do. You see, he knew about the damaged relationships. He knew about the secret sins. He knew about the financial difficulties that you had coming at you. He knew because he is before. Are you going to allow yourself to see that? He's not angry with you. He's not giving up on you. And he never will. Judith Smith again quotes, "We too often focus on our failures, on our tragedies and on our pain, and we forget that Jesus is before all of that. Jesus saw our present back when it was the future, and he went on ahead of us to get things ready. Not only is Jesus with us in our pain, but he was here long before we got here, and he's preparing a way to bring us back." Here's the thing, we're not promised tomorrow, we're not promised a year, 5 years, or 20 years from now. And even when tomorrow does come for us, I don't know what it's going to hold, but God does. Because he is first and he is last already. But you need to decide if he is first in your life. What you are going to do about it, that's what you need to decide. Choosing for him to be first means that Jesus is not only Savior in your life, but he is Lord. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the one that you will listen to. So are you going to choose to listen to those idols, to people's opinions, to the enemy? Are you going to listen to the Good Shepherd? I'm going to end with this promise in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run all these things. They run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." In his house, we are free. In his house, there is peace. In his house, we are loved. In his house, we are known. In his house, he is Lord. In his house, he is first and he is last and he is before all. Lord, I don't know where we're at tonight. Maybe some of us are coming in and not knowing you to be first at all, not knowing what this life is like to have a relationship with you. Lord, and then there's some of us that may be coming in that have a relationship with you and haven't been putting you first. We see the anxieties there. We see that the stress is there. We see the destruction in our life. God, we know that you're right there with open arms, with so much grace, with so much forgiveness. You knew that we were gonna struggle with this. You knew we were gonna hear this message tonight. God, thank you for the many, many second chances. God, I pray that we see the worth in putting you first. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.